Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. I'm not in an attic. I'm actually in a studio. Tony's off for a few days, and our dear friend Frank Isola is going to join me today. And Frank, I'm going to toss it right to you to start with the obvious news of the day.
That's right, Michael. It's been an emotional 24 hours for NASCAR down in Talladega. And of course, early Monday, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Alabama and the FBI, they said they're investigating the incident that took place Sunday when a noose was found in the garage stall of Bubba Wallace. He's NASCAR's only black driver. This comes less than 2 weeks after Bubba successfully fought to have NASCAR remove the Confederate flag at the track. It was a significant step. We know that, Michael. But you warned us from the start that this story was far from over. What's your reaction to the latest news?
Frank, I wish I could say I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. I'm disgusted. I could say horrified. But this has been decades, yep. decades. I mean, this sort of sentiment, you know, that runs against protest and runs against progress. And I heard Harry Edwards say earlier on First Take, every time somebody takes one step forward, there's somebody trying to drag you two steps back, and you just have to resist. And I my thoughts include NASCAR and all the drivers out there who have been supportive. And yeah. Richard Petty, who says, I'm going to be at the next race, and I'm going to stand with Bubba Wallace. And I think this has taken some guts on their part. This fight is not over. This is a fight, Frank. And that's what I told Tony 2 weeks ago, and Tony was really optimistic. And I said, I'm not optimistic. I'm a cynic when it comes to this. This is going to be a fight. This is not going to be easy. Nothing good that comes out of anything is ever done easily. And so I'm disgusted by it. I'm not particularly surprised at all by it. And I just wonder where it's going. NASCAR has dug its heels in, as well as the anti-protesters digging their heels in. And we're going to settle in here now, and we're going to see where this goes. And I just hope that Bubba and all the people, the new people supporting him and the drivers supporting him, I hope they've got the stomach for this fight, because it's going to be one hell of a fight.
You know, Michael, I think it's been a remarkable couple of weeks here for NASCAR. Number one, they removed the Confederate flag. That does not mean that fans are not going to show up in the parking lot or in a flying that flag, but at least NASCAR is doing something about it. And look at their response to what happened. They found out about this on Sunday. It's not something that they sat on and said, you know what, let's just let it go away. We don't want to draw negative attention to ourselves. They released a statement. And then you had the president of NASCAR, Steve Phelps. He's on a video conference call with reporters 90 minutes before the race to address something like this. So they're putting the attention on it on the day that they're racing. And then to see that show of solidarity with the pit crews and all the drivers standing behind Bubba Wallace. And there's Richard Petty, number 43 himself, the king and icon in the sport. To me, that was so powerful. I get it. You're not going to change a segment of fans. But what about the way NASCAR has approached it, though?
Yeah, I again, to Phelps and all the people who have, I mean, really shown some solidarity. They didn't back out. They, you know what?
Yep.
You could hear their voices. You could see through their actions what they're doing. Not every sport has done that. I won't veer off and get too specific, but I think you know who I'm referring to or what owners I'm referring to. But this is a major moment in the sort of national discussion. Frank, I know that NASCAR is not the National Football League, NASCAR is not the NBA. You know, NASCAR is a distant fourth or fifth in our consciousness in terms of a sport and what we follow. But this is much bigger than that. Bubba Wallace
is now symbolic. And Michael, remember, we don't have any other sports going on right now besides MMA.
Right.
And you have, you know, horse racing is going on. So NASCAR is kind of standing alone and they're addressing these issues. That's why I think they're putting a spotlight on themselves. And I think it's been in a positive way. We've seen this happen with soccer over in Europe, in England, Italy, and Germany. They're addressing the issues that athletes here want to see addressed. And that's why I think it's important what NASCAR has done these last 10 days when it's one of the only sports that's happening live in this country.
Yeah, no, that's a great point as well, Frank. We're going to move to basketball. Washington Wizards forward and pending free agent Davis Bertans has announced he's going to sit out the NBA restart as a preventative measure. Bertans has had two previous ACL injuries and is on the verge of signing a lucrative deal after a very strong season with the Wizards. Frank, we both know there's real uncertainty among players about the NBA's proposed restart. Do you expect more players or even a significant number of players to follow suit?
I think we're going to see several players do this. Now, Jason Tatum is a player for the Boston Celtics. Now, he's in a different situation. He's on a team that could win a championship, but he's also in line to get an extension. So he has his future to worry about. He's a little worried about going down to Orlando. From everything that we've heard, he's going to go down there. Victor Oladipo told Adrian Wojnarowski a couple of days ago that he's worried about his leg. Even though he had played toward the end of the season, he's in line for an extension pretty soon as well. So I do think there are a segment of players. But here's the problem, Michael, about the NBA going down to Orlando. When you send 22 teams down there, and it's a team like Washington, which doesn't have much of a chance to make the playoffs and even advance in the playoffs, John Wall says he's healthy. He's not going. Now you have Davis Bertans telling you, yeah, I'm healthy, but I'm worried about my next big contract. So I'm willing to forfeit about $520,000 for a bigger payday down the road.
Yeah, Frank, you raise a couple of good points. One, this is like a third dynamic, right? So you've got players saying, listen, my attention ought to be devoted more, if not entirely, to the social justice issues that this country faces, and I don't know that we should be playing. That's a bad look. There's that camp. There's a camp that very understandably says, hey, wait a minute. Florida is now the number one hotspot in the nation in terms of COVID-19. We don't know how effective a bubble would be. We're seeing cases like crazy there. I don't know about going to Florida. There's that dynamic. And now you've got this new dynamic of players saying, wait a minute, I'm putting myself at risk physically with less training time than I'd like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know that we're going to see that many players go that route, even though there might be a few. But Frank, doesn't the NBA now have to take this week and next, before people are starting to report officially to Orlando, don't they have to say, wait a minute, we got to revisit our decision here? I'm not talking about just a vote. I'm talking about the league saying we've got a much bigger problem here. Frank, look at the positive tests that are coming out of different situations in colleges that are being retested and whether or not they can go back. I think there's got to be reconsideration here. And that would, people shouldn't see that as weakness. They should see that as a strength, that you can have this conversation and you've got to be as certain as you can that you are doing the right thing.
Well, remember, Michael, the Toronto Raptors, they've already left. They're on their way now to Florida to get ready for training camp. And then you have, you know, the NBA is going to tell you a lot of the cases are happening in South Florida. We feel like we can control things in Orlando. But I know this from talking to NBA teams. A lot of the players, the teams, their families are worried about the employees coming in and out because they're not going to be staying inside the bubble.
Yeah,
they'll get it. And that's something that has concerned a lot of the people that are heading down to Orlando. But you know this as well. The NBA wants to pull this off. Adam Silver wants this to happen.
It's going to be
all right, Michael. While the NBA is hopeful. Yep. Meanwhile, while the NBA is hopeful to resume its season on July 30th, NFL training camps open next month with no guarantee its season will start in time. In fact, NFL reporter Albert Breer quoted two team executives as being in favor, get this, of pushing back opening week. Michael, do you think that's going to happen?
Frank, as we're on the subject of uncertainty here, this is a natural segue. Frank, how the hell are they going to play football when you have so far just in college football? We've got Clemson and LSU, and you're looking at more than 20 players. You can say, okay, well, it's a good time to put them in quarantine and they can, you know, stop. They're not in a bubble. They're not going to be in a controlled environment. In the case of college football, are they going to be on a campus or not? Are students going to be in that, on that campus or not? You can't isolate college football players if they're supposed to be in class. And if they're in a college environment, that's a bunch of junk. In terms of pro football, wow. They can do this without a bubble. They can have the kind of physical contact we're talking about. And I've heard people say, well, they can be testing every day. If you test every day and you need 30 to 45 minutes, even for the most rapid test, to be evaluated, how many hours are we talking about a day just evaluating tests, Frank, before you even get on a practice field in meeting rooms? I had a buddy of mine who's currently in the NFL say to me, you can have entire position groups wiped out. Because they're meeting, they're together all the time, they're in close proximity, and what would a team do then? I hadn't thought of that. So there's, how can football start on time?
You know, I go week to week being optimistic, pessimistic. Right now, I'm a lot more pessimistic. Yeah. You know, when you have the union's doctor coming out and saying, you know what, you guys should not be holding private workouts together, and we know a lot of quarterbacks like to do that, especially a guy like Tom Brady, you're down in Florida where cases are spiking. Cases are spiking in Arizona and in Texas. So clearly the Players Association is worried about this. The advantage that the NFL has is, you know, they're playing, most of the stadiums are outdoors. They can push back the start of the season maybe to October, possibly November, hope that maybe there's a vaccination or some type of drugs that can treat this, you know, the COVID-19. So that's one of the advantages that they have. And these stadiums, for the most part, are open. Is it ideal to push back the Super Bowl? No. But why couldn't maybe they play late February, early March? So I think this is going to gain momentum, Michael, as we get closer to the start of training camps opening for the NFL.
Yeah, Frank, listening to the number of voices sounding a cautionary note, you start thinking, okay, you are not sort of blocked in by some artificial end of season. You can move this as you need to. But Frank, then we're talking about, what about this sort of, what about the second coming and the virus, you know, sort of whiplash boomeranging back in November or December? What happens then? Well, the NFL does have a lot of wiggle room, but that conversation, that's not what we've been talking about so far. We're just now getting to this, and training camps are a little over a month away. So again, I'm like you, Frank. One week I'm thinking, okay, looks like we can move on. And the next week I'm thinking, wow, somebody better put the brakes on here.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It's happy time, people. It's an ode to Tony. Legal pad, glasses. You got to have all the props.
Looks good.
Sorry, Frank, but that must be done. Happy 33rd birthday to Danny Green. The veteran shooting guard is still waiting for the championship ring he earned as a key member of the Raptors last season because his scheduled late March trip to Toronto was wiped out. But it's probably more important to Green, who was a member of the Spurs title team in 14, that he can help the Lakers to a championship. It would be his third if this proposed playoffs actually happens. It's a far cry from having to prove himself with the Reno Bighorns of the old NBA D-League for 16 games in 2011. But this championship stuff for Green began in college, where he played a huge role for the Tar Heels in 2009. In Chapel Hill, Green played in more games and had more wins than any Tar Heel before him. And the all-Danny teammates team would feature Tim Duncan, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis in the front court. Kawhi Leonard would have to slide into the backcourt and share it with Tony Parker or Manu Ginobili, Frank.
Now, that's impressive. If you go back to the 2013 finals, that's the Ray Allen shot. You know, Danny Green had 27 three-pointers in that finals, including seven in one game. But I got an even more remarkable stat for you, Michael. Believe it or not, I went to high school with Danny Green's father. How is that possible when you're 45 years old, I just turned 40, and Danny Green is 33? How is this possible? Explain that.
Oh, my goodness. You and your basement is bad. You're as old as Tony in his attic when you throw out stuff like that. An extraordinary
happy 40.
82nd anniversary. 82nd anniversary, Frank, to Joe Louis versus Max Schmeling 2. Schmeling, to the delight of Hitler and Nazi Germany, won the first fight by knockout in the 12th round at the start of World War II. Lewis, however, scored a first-round knockout in the rematch, knocking Schmeling to the mat 3 times in 2 minutes and sending Schmeling to the hospital in New York for 10 days. The pair of fights had more political and racial overtones than anything the world has seen since in sports. A Washington Post columnist called Lewis, get this, quote, the lethargic chicken-eating young colored boy, close quote. And the columnist covering the fight for UPI called Lewis, quote, a jungle man, completely primitive as any savage, close quote. And these words were in the pieces that ultimately praised Joe Lewis. Now, Schmeling went on to become close with Lewis. He also invested in efforts resisting the Nazi party. And he would fly in every year to visit the Brown Bomber while he was working as a greeter at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, then served as his pallbearer at his funeral. Lewis was the first true African-American hero, and Schmeling was the only fighter to knock him out until Rocky Marciano did it 15 years later, crying in Lewis's dressing room after beating his childhood hero.
Yeah, that's a remarkable part of this story, is that Max Schmeling, who was a pawn for Hitler's regime, became friends with Joe Lewis. And I love the story. A few weeks before the rematch, Joe Lewis goes to the White House. He sees the president, Franklin Roosevelt, who tells Joe Lewis, we need more muscle like you in order to beat Germany. But think about the era that we were at that time, Michael. 2 years before the rematch, you have Jesse Owens in Berlin winning 4 gold medals at the Olympics right in front of Hitler. Incredible.
Yeah, you talk about confrontation and courage and things that were difficult to do. I mean, wow, that 84 yep. years ago. Happy trails Amazing. To Dak Prescott missing training camp, Frank, if there is a season, because he has no contract. Rarely has been so much to do made over something so largely irrelevant. Prescott, according to Schefty now, signed his franchise tag agreement, which calls for the Cowboys to pay him $31.4 million this season, unless, of course, the two sides agree to a long-term deal in the next few weeks, which ensures this silly conversation really isn't over and we are stuck with it indefinitely.
I like the fact that he made the Michael Wilbon jump in salary from $2 million to $31 million. It's actually a smart move by Dak Prescott. You don't know about a football season. The money's going to be guaranteed. If he signs the franchise tag next season, he can get $37 million. Plus, remember this, Michael. They have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. Who knows if that's going to happen, but Dak Prescott is finally going to get paid.
Yeah, and in case the cap was to flatten or be less, you know, he signed this before that. He's going to $31 million. Nothing to sneeze at. We're going to throw it back to
Not
Sage
bad.
And Michael in Bristol.
PTI.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.